Moody's Tale, written by James Bell Moody and read by John Derham. The deep whoomph of a bomb exploding fairly close was the signal for Horry to go into action, and with hair bristling and tail erect, he barked his disapproval of the Luftwaffe. Someone nearby panicked and shouted, "Keep the bloody dog quiet or they'll hear us!" Although we had a fairly healthy respect for the German airmen, not many of us thought they were that good. However, to please all, Horry was stopped from barking, but his growl showed that even if he was not allowed to loudly proclaim his disapproval of the Luftwaffe, he could at least do his bit by growling. After a delay of about 30 minutes, we moved off again to a little Greek village named Daphne and camped there for the night. During the early hours of the morning, several hostile aircraft flew low over the camp and dropped their eggs uncomfortably close. The earth shook and a shower of leaves fell on the tent roof from the trees among which we were camped. The wog dog crept from the foot of my bed and buried his cold nose under my armpit. Finding that he was not ejected, he gained courage and once more started to growl. The morning found us camped in a delightful spot. April sunshine, green crops, vines, and fields of poppies met the eye, and the trees under which we were camped were good old Australian gums. This indeed seemed a country worth fighting for. During the morning, numerous children invaded the camp, and they were given tins of bully beef by the boys, much to their delight, for it seemed a luxury to them. Meat of any kind was scarce then, and the wog dog had his first meal of bully beef. He certainly did not show the enthusiasm about it that the Greek kiddies did. The following day we passed through Athens and we were greeted with cheers and flowers from the warm-hearted people of this lovely land. From the back of a truck, Horry watched with interest, tail wagging and an occasional bark of greeting to any dog that he saw. His interest in everything was amazing, and it was Horry that first drew our attention to a sight that was to us most unusual. As we passed through Larissa, he spotted a stork perched on its huge nest high up on a church steeple. He was so concerned about it that we just had to see what all the noise was about. The quaint whitewashed houses, the Greek peasants in their colourful costumes, and the stork presiding over all from his lofty perch on a church steeple made such a peaceful scene that it was hard to realise that the black clouds of war were threatening this beautiful country. The following day, Horry's method of travelling changed from truck to motorcycle. This was accomplished by putting him in the front of my greatcoat after first fastening a belt around the waist so he would not fall out. He kept his interest in the surroundings by putting his head out between two buttons, much to the amusement and delight of the Greek people whose attention he drew with his ever-ready bark. Horry travelled many miles in this fashion and seemed to like it. I had only to sit on a motorcycle and open the front of my coat, and he would scramble up and make himself comfortable. But the moment I stopped, his scramble to get out never lacked in enthusiasm. The following day, we were getting nearer to the beautiful snow-topped Mount Olympus, and the air became very cold.